Last Sunday, we invested our time together learning some lessons from Moses and the burning bush, understanding how God reveals himself to us in our everyday life. That was the subject of our sermon last Sunday. Today, we're going to reflect on inquiries that arise directly from our innermost being. In other words, we explore heartfelt concerns, seeking meaningful answers or insights about faith, struggles, and the spiritual challenges we encounter. This text from John chapter 9 tells us one of the most beautiful healing stories performed by Jesus. I don't know if you are aware of this, but this story is the most detailed miracle in the entire New Testament. It's also the one that vividly shows the agony and anguish of a person looking for answers to life's questions. Today, we will meditate on these profound questions. Questionings of the heart. Questionings of the heart. The first questioning that people did for Jesus on this part, on this portion of the Bible that Daniel read for us, John chapter 9, was, why was this man born blind? Remember when the disciples came to Jesus and saw that guy there begging? And they came to him with probably that person, that man, had been observed for a long time. And this question sometimes comes. Why this man was born blind? So that question came especially when Jesus was crossing and they came to him. Jesus, why? Why? This why is the most of the questions that we do to God when certain situations come to our lives. Why, God? Why? 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 You may have found yourself asking questions emerging from the agony within your heart, particularly those related to human suffering and injustice. These are the same types of questions Jesus' disciples posed to him. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Have you too ever found yourself asking God questions? I certainly have. These are some genuine, real questions that sometimes come from our hearts. I just try to find some questions that people usually do. Why is there so much hunger in the world? Why are numerous wars happening? Why is there an abundance of evil? Why do experience suffering? Why was my child born with that illness? Why did I lose my job? Why did my parents pass away? Why did these events happen to me and my family? Those are some questions that bring pain to those navigating through challenges, often receiving no direct answers from God. Have you gone through those questions and not receiving an answer from God? Why? Although challenging to figure out and accept, here There are things that happen to us that we don't understand in that specific moment. Let me tell you this story. Remember, I love to tell stories. During our time in Africa, our youngest daughter, Fernanda, she is my namesake, fell ill with a disease called paratyphoid fever. This bacterial infection caused by Salmonella enterica brought severe intestinal infection to my daughter. She was 7 years old, weighing 59 pounds. Fernanda's illness was severe, and treatment options there in Africa were very limited. We decided to take her out of the country and bring her to Brazil, our home country, in the hope of finding better treatment. However, due to political situation and civil war in Angola, that Angola was facing at that time, leaving the country required an exit visa, which usually took about 5-6 days to have it stamped in our passports. Somehow, in those distressing days, our passport were only released 5 weeks after submission of the immigration department. But due to the seriousness of our daughter's illness, Fernanda lost lots of weight, going down from 59 pounds to 33 pounds. Can you imagine our family distress? Despite our family's distress, tears, suffering, and being questioning God a lot, we experienced tremendous expressions of kindness, revealing true values otherwise probably we would never experience. Let me tell you some of them. At the seminar where my wife and I taught, a 58-year-old student who often claimed missionaries went to Angola solely to get rich, poor guy, you never know, surprisingly came to our house. He asked to pray for our daughter. As he was praying, knelt beside her, he started to sought forgiveness from God for his negative remarks about missionaries. It was a deeply moving moment of reconciliation that we could hardly witness in another situation. That was the first. Second, on the day immigration finally called to say our passport and exit visas were ready to go, I parked my car at 8 a.m. right in front of the immigration department. We were all set to drive the whole family to the neighboring country and catch a flight to Brazil from there. However, our passport weren't released until 5 p.m. A kind Christian in our town, knowing we were stuck there all day long, unable to leave as the passport might arrive at any moment, brought us food for the entire family, not just once, but 3 times, even though we knew he was sharing resources he didn't have. Third, while traveling from Angola to Namibia, the neighboring country, we learn about Finnish missionaries living along our route out of the country. I had never met them before. I even didn't know their names. At midnight, we knocked on their doors, explained our situation, and they kindly opened their home to host us, the whole family, the five of us. They even prepared dinner for us. How could such generosity happen in an ordinary situation for a strange people they never met before? Arriving in Windhoek, Namibia's capital, on the next day, we found ourselves without a place to leave our car because our initial plans didn't account for this unexpected journey by car to Namibia. Thankfully, the Finnish missionaries we had met earlier suggested we contact a German missionary friend in Windhoek, the capital. We also had never met that missionary before. Despite that, we knocked his door, explained our situation, and he graciously opened his home to accommodate all five of us on that day. Not only did he let us leave our car there, which it ended up staying for 5 months in his home, but he also gave us a ride to the airport next morning. Once again, how could such kindness happen in regular circumstances? More. Finally, arriving in Brazil, we found ourselves at this major airport in São Paulo City with an 8-hour layover, waiting for a connection to our hometown. Our three children were exhausted after more than 3 days of traveling. Like any other children, they were very young at that time, they began asking for things. But we had no money. We had no money left after spending everything on that unexpected road trip from Angola to Namibia. After a while, my wife suggested checking our bank account. Although I was sure there was nothing there because we had left Brazil 4 years earlier. But because she insisted, husband, you know how wives can be. She insisted, go there. I went to an ATM inside the airport and to my surprise, found there the equivalent of $100. But the point was that $100 was deposited in my account on that very day. It was a feast for the whole family. We could buy anything, many of things for our children, for us as well, as we were a little bit hungry. Late that night, we finally arrived home. 2 months later, after a very intensive treatment, by God's grace, Fernanda was healed and regained the lost weight. After that, I traveled to São Paulo, the largest city in Brazil, to visit some supporting churches and share our missionary stories. One morning, during my preaching, I shared this same story that I'm telling you now. After the service, a family approached me, curious about the time and date of our arrival. Then they realized that on that day, they had been praying for missionaries, as they do every morning. Their youngest daughter brought an information card from the Sunday school class asking to pray for the family on the card. That family was us. After the prayer time, the little girl asked her father to send an offering to them, us, because she learned that they had a daughter the same age as her, Fernanda, which they agreed and the father did on his way to work. That was the money that we found on our account on our arrival. Brothers and sisters, there are things that happen to us that we don't understand at the moment, and probably we never will. However, one thing remains certain. During the intense suffering of my daughter, we witnessed and experienced God's everyday gracious care. Are there, brothers and sisters, lots of things that happen to us that we call bad things? But even through those torments, God is still there, showing his gracious care. Why was this man born blind? Why? That brings us to the second question of the heart on this text. We can find this on John 9, 13 to 15, and then we jump to 24, 25, and then we jump to the verse 35 to 36. And the question was this: what is the purpose of being healed? The first question was made by Jesus' disciples. Now the Pharisees come asking another question: what is the purpose of being healed? Let's take a look. John 9, verse 13, 14, and 15. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now, the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Let's jump to verse 24. So, for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I don't know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him. Every now and then, I encounter individuals who pose questions not because they are seeking answers, but because they are looking for someone to blame. Have you find people like this? "I deduce because someone did that." You have to understand, it's not my fault, it's someone's fault. I have found lots of people with this kind of situations. Questions such as, "Why do bad things happen to good people like me?" If it was happening with others, no problem. Why happened to me? I'm a good person. I'm a good Christian. I give my tithes. I help people. I go to the church every Sunday. I have my whole family there. Why it's happened to me? When someone tries to offer explanations rooted in the Bible, they tend to shift the blame towards the government or to the society. They aren't really interested in answers. They just want to point fingers at someone else. But they forget, when they point finger to someone else, they have another tree pointing to himself or to herself. Have you ever encountered people like that? Or being probably yourself? The Pharisees, who were questioning the man who was born blind, did the same. Let's take a look back on verse 24. For the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." The Pharisees saw a miracle like never before, but they were the true blind man, busy trying to maintain their status and find faults in their rules. They were too busy to see what God was doing at that moment. They completely missed the amazing thing that just happened. Just like them, we also risk missing incredible opportunities to witness the greatness of God in our lives or in the lives of others because we ask questions in the wrong way. Instead of asking why, we should be asking, what is this for? And what is God teaching me through this hard way? Why? Because the answer to why, you already know. You already know the answer. And the answer is, God is sovereign. And that's why he does whatever he wants, wherever he wants, and whenever he wants. Pause for a moment and let this sink in. I will repeat to make it clear. The answer to why is because God is sovereign. And that's why he acts according to his will. And this settles it. He does what he wants, wherever he wants, whenever he wants. So asking questions you already know, the answer is pointless. So every time when people come to me and say, "Pastor, why this is happening to me?" Because God is permitting this. He knows. Instead, you should be asking, instead of asking why, you should be asking, what is this for, God? What God is teaching me now? Please, God, help me to understand. Help me to figure out. Help me to see the teaching that you are teaching me through this hard way. These are the right questions. Because in every aspect of our lives, there is a purpose, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that most of you nor by memory. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Many people stop here. They memorize the verse only to hear, but it's necessary to also memorize the second part of this verse. For those who are called according to his purpose. Everything. And I'd like to put stress on this. Even those things that we call bad. When Jesus' disciples asked him why the man was born blind, Jesus provided a clear and direct answer. It wasn't the man's or his parents' fault. So don't point fingers. Then Jesus answered the question they hadn't asked. He was born blind so that many, including you, could see the glory of God. That was the answer that Jesus gave, even though they didn't ask that. He was born blind to you see the glory of God. It sounds strange, doesn't it? Why God let some people suffer to make us see the glory of God? We saw this in our daughter's sickness. That was the purpose behind all the situation that the family endured for the years. He was born blind for the glory of God that surpasses all understanding and explanation. The man who was born blind became the center of this narrative only in the last part of the story. The first part of this story, the center of the story were the disciples. They were making questions. The second part of the story, the Pharisees were the center. They tried to prove to that guy, that man that was born blind, that Jesus was a sinner. Why? Because he did something against the rules of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were more interested in explaining the law than busy in seeing the work of God behind the sand. But it was the healed man who understood the reason of the whole event. Only the man who was born blind understood the reason of the whole event. Let's take a look on John 9, verse 35 to 38. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, Jesus said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. It's interesting because in the Portuguese version, instead of say, "Lord, I believe," in our Portuguese verse says, "Lord, I see you." For me, make more sense because he was blind. And now he can see what the Pharisees couldn't see. And even the disciples couldn't see that precious moment So I read again as I read in Portuguese. Then the man said, Lord, I see you. And he worshipped him. The blind man healed understood that he didn't need to know everything. I want to repeat this. The blind man healed understood that he didn't need to know everything. He was healed and worshipped his Savior, period. No questions. His job wasn't to explain what happened to him. His job was to tell or testify to everyone what Jesus did in his life. In fact, on the verse 25, on John 9, verse 25, we read this. He replied, whenever he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. I don't know why that happened to my daughter. But one thing I know, we went through a hard time together as a family, and God was with us. Now I can witness this, testimony this to you today. So when questions come to our minds, such as, why do I or someone else is facing this hard situation? Why did this happen to me or to my beloved one? And you don't find any answer that brings comfort to you. Try, my brothers and sisters, try simply resting in God's hand. Like that healed man. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. I'm not saying that it's easy. I know this. It's not easy. But this is the only way to find comfort, peace in your mind, in your heart, and in your soul. Then, and only then, you will be flooded with peace, and in some way, you will witness the manifestation of God's glory in your life. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to have your word opened and explained this morning. Trust in your grace, Lord, and in merciful love, we ask for your blessings so that we can keep in your heart and minds what you have learned today. It's not always easy, God, to trust in your plan, given our instability and lack of patience. Forgive us, our Lord, when you choose our own path instead of yours. In the name of Jesus, strengthen our faith, God. Strengthen our hope. Hold our hands securely, little God, and lead us beside still waters for your name's sake. Be merciful on us. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God is good all the time. Am I correct? Yes. All the time He's good. It's why we can sit spiritually around the table of the communion. And give this testimony. Jesus died on the cross because he loved us. In the way, say, that he gave his life for us to take us as a beloved children and give a testimony who is he and what he has done in our lives.